Everybody hear me in the back?
Okay, good. My name is Kyla Splickle. I am with North Dakota State University, and I actually work for one of the agricultural experiment stations in the state, the Williston Research Extension Center, which is located on the extreme western edge of the state of North Dakota. And I'm here to talk to you today about our research, expanding local crop opportunities through season extension in North Dakota using high tunnels. So our project objectives, we wanted to look at cultivar trials of traditional high tunnel vegetable crops, tomatoes, cucumbers, and bell peppers. We wanted to conduct these trials in representative areas of the east side of the state versus the western side of the state due to the climatic variations. And we also wanted to show season extension, the benefits to season extension by using these high tunnels in North Dakota as compared to the field-grown conditions. So, this is the state of North Dakota, and contrary to common belief, we are not part of Canada. We actually are a part of the United States, although people do misconstrue that quite often. We are bordered by Canada. The prairie provinces of Manitoba and Saskatchewan are our neighbors to the north. We do have Montana to the west, South Dakota to the south, and Minnesota to the east. This region over here is our primary, highly populated region of the state. As you go west, it becomes more and more rural. And so the importance of expanding our local crop opportunities has a lot to do with the demographics and also the regional impact. And so I've pinpointed the locations of these two trials that we conducted. Fargo is the most highly populated, the most highly populated city in our state is Fargo, and that trial was located about 20 or 40 some miles west of Fargo in a location known as Absaraka. And so I'll be referring to Absaraka within this trial. And then on the western side of the state, we conducted our trial about 23 miles east of Williston, North Dakota, at the irrigated research farm known as Nesson Valley. And we are located right along the Missouri River system. It is an irrigated farm, 160 acres of agricultural crops grown under linear irrigation. And so we chose to put our high tunnel there. And we wanted to represent the two sides of the state. So if I refer to Nesson Valley or Williston, I'm talking about the west side of the state. And I'm going to show some snapshots of the production that we had inside the high tunnel versus field. I'll show you the two locations. And then I'm actually going to look at the data that I compiled for Nesson Valley for Williston and show some significance there. Okay, so the methods and materials that we had, as I said before, we had three individual trials. They were randomized with a randomized complete block design. We had nine cultivars that we chose, and they were replicated four times. Each trial was conducted individually, and you can see that the planting areas were based off recommended spacings for our plants for each commodity. And then our transplants were a little bit older than what we had wanted them to be when we transplanted the tomatoes and the peppers. The cucumbers were direct seeded, and this was just due to finalizing the construction of our high tunnel. So we were awarded a specialty crop block grant, the funds became available, and then we had to start the construction, and so we were finishing up the construction before we could go ahead and plant. So our transplants were a little bit larger than they should have been, but we had a 26 by 96 high tunnel, and then we trained our tomatoes with 1 liter, and we were using twine strung from the rafters. We tried to keep them down to 1 liter, and then the cucumbers, we were actually growing them on welded wire mesh, and we tried to keep them down to 1 liter as much as we could. They do grow quite rapidly. And then the peppers were strung up using the Florida weave system. And so here we have a snapshot of our production. And like I said, I've got Absaraka, and I'm comparing the high tunnel and field. I have the data up here for comparison purposes. And you can see that Sprinter was actually one of the top cultivars in the high tunnel, and also field conditions was very close. Over in Nesson Valley, Islander was actually one of the varieties that did better for us in terms of production per plant. But you can see that we are getting a lot higher yields from the inside of the high tunnel versus the field production, especially in Nesson Valley. And this was the data that I compiled for Nesson Valley for our annual reports. This purple variety over here is actually Islander. And I want to point out that I didn't find any significance with the actual yield, but there was in terms of number. Islander was a very prolific grower. And so you can also see our planting date was a little bit later than we probably could have gone. And then our final harvest date was into October. The cucumbers were into November, and same with the tomatoes. Okay. So the tomatoes, this is a snapshot here. Fargo's tomatoes were actually double planted, and I didn't look at that data for this conference just due to time. But they did have some pretty decent pounds per plant for the variety Cobra, and Cobra also did very well out in the field. It didn't do as well for us over in Nesson Valley, so we are seeing some differences between each side of the state. The climactic regions do vary greatly. And so here it is summarized for Nesson Valley, the tomato trial. And our top yielding variety was Tomimaro Mochu. I did see a little bit of significance with total yield, but I also wanted to draw your attention over to the marketability and the percentage that was marketable. New Girl actually had the highest percent that was marketable. Now, we were using the USDA grading standards for us to hold our produce to a standard, and so that's what we were using as our grading standard. And so we did actually have quite a few that were marketable, but Trust had a large number of yield second place, but its marketability was quite lower. So that is something to take into consideration, especially when you're growing tomatoes, and something that we learned as we were going. So moving along to cucumbers, I feel fairly confident that our cucumber trial was successful in Nesson Valley. We had almost 170 pounds per total that came out. Corinto seemed to be the top performer in both trials. It didn't do quite as well for us out in the field, but it is a really nice cucumber, and it did well for both high tunnel and field production. And here is a snapshot. Now, when we were going through and selecting the varieties for the cucumber trial, we ended up selecting some that were considered picklers. And so I didn't go through and analyze the data in terms of USDA grading standards, because there are different grading standards for cucumbers, for slicers versus picklers. And so I went ahead with just the marketability. So we had our total weights, and the total number harvested, and the total weight, and then the percent that was considered unmarketable. And so Corinto was our top yielder in terms of total number, in terms of weight, but the total number of the top yielder was actually Isnik, which is a pickler. So there is some variation there. But overall, very good in terms of marketability. The cucumbers that were coming out of the high tunnel were very high quality, in my opinion. So now I want to move on and talk a little bit about the climactic concerns that we have with North Dakota. If you do associate us at all, we are associated with cold weather. And yes, it does get very cold in North Dakota. This is a snapshot of the North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, NDON. These are weather stations. All of those blue areas are weather stations located around the state, and they're collecting weather data. So I was using the Hoefland Weather Station right here, which is actually located on site of our irrigated research farm. And I wanted to show the benefits that we had for season extension. So in North Dakota, our spring and our fall weathers are very unpredictable, and so that's actually where the greatest risk is for us. Yes, it gets very cold in the wintertime, and we do get a lot of snow, but the spring and the fall are times that are very important, and that's where high tunnels can come in, especially when it comes to our specialty crop markets. Now, you can see that the eastern side of the state, there's a lot more weather stations. It's a lot more populated on the eastern side of the state. There is a market for local produce. So the high tunnel that's located near Fargo, that one will fit nicely into the local foods movement. Williston, however, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the energy in North Dakota. If you've ever heard of the name Williston, you might have heard it because of the fact that there was a gigantic oil boom that just happened there recently. But it is a rural area, and we were populated. Our population was increased dramatically due to that oil boom. And there are people there that are looking to find local foods, a source that they can buy foods that have been grown locally. So I think that there's some expansion that can happen there for us. And so that's why it's really important, and we're excited about having high tunnels in the state. I also want to point out that North Dakota doesn't have anything that's been researched. There are high tunnels in the state. There are producers with high tunnels, but there hasn't been any publishable data that has come out of the university system. So our two high tunnels are the first. Basically, we're kind of pioneering the high tunnel research for North Dakota. So we used the Watchdog Weather Stations to collect our data from Spectrum Technologies, and they were set up comparably to the Endon Weather Station. And that was collecting data for us continually. And this is a snapshot from the North Dakota Climatology Department with North Dakota State. This is giving us the probability, so we're up here, we're located up here, the probability of having a 32-degree weather event. We have a 50-50 chance. So basically between September 2nd and September 11th, there's a 50% chance that we could have a 32-degree weather event, which if you're growing vegetables outside, that's not conducive. And our average first frost for Williston, for Williams County, is September 22nd. So we did actually have an event that happened in 2016, September 13th and 14th. If you look at those temperatures, this was collected from Endon, and we're actually looking at a 30-degree temperature on the 13th, and then we ended up with 33 degrees the next night after that. So we got hit right away. Anything that was planted outside, completely dead. Inside the high tunnel, we ended up with 38 degrees, so we were actually almost 8 degrees warmer inside the high tunnel, and our crop was able to survive until the end of September when subsequent diseases kind of took over with some of the crops. So we did see the benefits of season extension. This was our weather station here. This white thing is just a radiation shield. Just ignore this hobo. We actually didn't collect the data from that. But in summary, we did find some significance within our cultivar trials. We did see a lot of higher quality and quantity produce coming out than we did in the field trial. And then season extension was achieved due to frost. But for us, the sky's the limit. We have a lot more to do with research in high tunnels for North Dakota. And so do I have time for any questions? I also want to thank these folks here that supported us for North Dakota Department of Ag. No, we did not. So the field trial was actually planted the first week of June for us. And that's pretty typical for us in Williams County just because of the dangers of the last frost. It seems like that's the recommendation is after Memorial Day. Yeah.
So if that had been under control, do you think maybe they could have continued longer?
Yes, I do. In fact, I was mainly referring to the cucumbers. They seemed to end up with anthracnose. And so this summer we employed a lot more fungicide timings, and so the cucumbers have actually gone fairly well. But with this modified environment, we've come across a lot of issues. And so dealing with spider mites and aphids and other disease management tactics have come into play for us. And so I think that's where we're going to go with the future is looking at our disease management. But yes, I do think we could have continued.
Okay.
Absolutely. Any other questions? Thank you.